Houston, interviewing Mr. William Morris and Mrs. What is your first name, Mrs. Morris?
Lillian
Morris. Mr. Morris, where was it that you were born?
I was born on Wyatt's Mountain.
Wyatt's Mountain. That's right up above.
Above Bacon Hollow.
Above Bacon Hollow. Okay, we got it. All right, now, you were saying before, Mr. Morris, that you were the oldest in the family. What was your mother's maiden name?
Loney Morris.
Loney Morris. Was she kin to your father?
No, ma'am.
Were there a lot of Morrises up there?
Oh, yes. Morrises, Shippers, from those all that you see or hear of.
Uh-huh. So they weren't related?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Mrs. Morris, what was your maiden name?
Shiplet.
And where were you born?
In Merle.
You lived in the mountains, though, didn't you?
I've raised in the mountain, that's right.
Where?
Shiplet Hollow.
Shiplet?
From around 7 years old.
Okay. In other words, your family were mountain people, but happened to be in Maryland when you were born, is that
yes,
it?
Ma'am.
And then they returned. Okay. Now, Mr. Morris, how long were you there in Wyatt Mountain?
Well, off and on, a good part of my time, because I stayed right much with my granddaddy, but I was on the Roger just for a little short while, because my daddy moved to Bacon Hollow, and then my next oldest brother from law.
Mm-hmm. That was Sam.
Sam Morris.
You stayed with your granddaddy.
That was part of the time.
Why was that?
Was large enough. That was on Wyatt's Mountain. That is above the Bacon Hollow.
Said, why was that?
Why did you? Did you like them? And
I was called that.
What sort of a house did your grandfather have?
What kind of a house?
Was it a log house?
Yeah, a log cabin, a log house with four rooms in it.
Four rooms?
And then there was a kitchen built off from it, 6 or 8 or 10 feet.
Mm-hmm. The kitchen was separate from the house then. Did they have a breezeway covering it or anything?
Well, yeah, they had a roof over between it.
Yeah.
And just a walkway between them, about 6 or 7 feet.
Yeah, but they made away with all that now.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, the house is still up, but the kitchen was pulled off from it. And a different kitchen connected to the house now.
What was your granddaddy's name?
Henry Morris.
Henry Morris. This is your grandfather on your
mother's side.
On your mother's side.
John Henry, wasn't it?
John Henry.
Henry John Morris.
Henry John.
Whichever way it was, I know his name now, boy. John Henry.
Uh-huh. Okay. So, how long did you stay there with your grandparents?
Well, off and on, up until I was married.
Did you? Oh, right. Now, you're going to tell us all about what you did while you were there. Did they have a garden?
Oh, yes. And farm some corn, rye, or some wheat, and oats and stuff. That was to feed the cows, and also for a mule or two around.
Oh, you had a mule?
Oh, yeah. He raised some mules, my granddaddy did.
Raised them?
Raised
and sold them?
Sold them.
How much would he get for them?
Well, it just depends on the quality of them and how old it was. Stuff wasn't high enough back at that time. He used to sell young mule colts maybe for $30 or $40 a piece, and then you break them up to be mules. I remember him sell a man over in the valley one for $200. But then a lot of them that didn't bring it because it wasn't worth it.
Mm-hmm. Must be quite a knack to raising a mule, is it?
No.
No harder than horses?
No. Well, not a bit more, I don't think. But the only difference they are at the mane of the breed.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Like stir them and kick, do a little of anything like that. But if you learn it to work, they will butt it to work in the mountains where there were rocks and stuff that they had done horse with, because his feet wasn't as large.
Yes. Did you do any of the breaking of the mules?
Well, after I got grown, I hope.
Oh, boy. That must have been a very proud moment when you were told you could. Was it?
Well, our pleasure of it was, catch Granddaddy out of the way. I had another first cousin who stayed right around our lot. And we'd get him in the barn and ride him around. And we got more kick out of that than we did working them.
We have a horse now.
You do?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Now, these mules were used for
farm work. Maybe get them a ride them, meal, old grist meal. They didn't have flour meals and stuff right around our clothes store. And the meal in Elton, or the Riverbank meal, was out at that time. But old grist meals, they call it, they take the corn down to old meal and the ground it with rocks. Mm-hmm. They wanted them old meals and ship it all in there.
Oh, so that you didn't have far to go to the mill?
Well, it goes for 3 or 4 miles, but for the ride a horse or a mule, a meal and that.
Did you ever
half a day.
Did you put a cover over the mule's back?
Well, you either put a saddle on him, or my granddaddy used to keep sheep. He had old sheep hide, and he put a band right around the mule and put a push on half a cone on that, and just get around the mule right on the mill. But now there wasn't no mills up on them mountains because there wasn't water enough to turn it with a wheel. Turn the wheel.
Your daddy used to have to send his corn down at that mill.
Well, yeah.
And chip it off.
I read a horse out of the park hundreds of times. I reckon we were going to turn the mill on the house. But that mountain was rather steeper than where my granddaddy lived. And my daddy had a saddle, but my granddaddy. Oh, it was so funny, he had a good saddle, but he didn't want you to take it to ride the mule on.
You say he used to raise sheep. He didn't after a while?
Ma'am?
He didn't always raise sheep?
Yeah, he had sheep for when I could recollect, and he kept them up until he got an old man.
Okay. Then, did the women weave and card the wool?
Well, my grandmother did. Well, she knitted me socks and knitted me gloves from when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you sell the lambs?
Yeah, they would sell the lambs in the fall and in long in May. That they would share them sheep and they'd sell the wool.
Yeah. Good cash crop both ways, wasn't
yeah.
it? Yeah. Did you ever eat the sheep?
Yeah, I like mutton fine.
Uh-huh. Right. Did your grandfather raise cattle?
Well, some. He'd always keep his milk cow, two or three milk cows, horses or mules, or whichever he had.
How about cattle to eat?
No, he never did do much of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because up on that mountain, you couldn't make the feed to feed them. But they would sell them to the farmers, but down off the mountain, the calves, and they'd raise them for feed. But not up on the mountain, they did.
You had hogs?
Yeah, they always kept them. 2 or 3 hogs killed during the year.
Mm-hmm. How about the hogs? Did you let them run loose?
Yeah. A lot of them had fence, but let them run loose. And back at that time, when I was a boy, that they planted chestnut trees and stuff, and acorns, and they didn't have to feed them much.
Yeah.
And just let them run loose in the mountains, feed when time could come up to kill them, or they'd be almost bad enough to kill, and sometimes it would be. And they'd take and put them up for a few weeks and feed them some corn that they claimed the acorns would make the meat better.
Mm-hmm.
How did you find them if they ran loose?
Well, they'd always come back. They'd always have a little waste milk and stuff to give them. And then it ain't like it is this day and time. If you turn hogs and stuff to get loose now, if a hog went over to his neighbor's house, they'd be inquiring and they'd call about the hogs up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That happens way to get them.
Sure. Right. Did your grandfather have an orchard?
No, only just apples enough around for the use, or maybe 15 or 20 trees, or maybe not that many at all.
Okay.
You pick up them apples, go out to the hogs, and plant pumpkins, in the corn, and bust them up, and the hogs would eat them. They like the seed better than they did the pumpkins.
How did your grandfather take care of vegetables during the winter?
Well, he always growed his potatoes, and he had a hole dug in the ground, covered with old boards, either split something or out of chestnut timber and stuff, and covered over, and he put them in there, and then piled the dirt up on them, maybe about 12 inches deep, and underneath of his corn house, where he used it for both things, for corn and for his meat and other vegetables, like onions in that he couldn't put enough. He had a place down underneath the floor, and it was boarded up, leaves in that for potatoes, maybe for what he'd be going to use when the weather was bad down underneath this floor.
Mm-hmm.
And then the apples they had, they'd take them, they'd peel them, sweeten apples, they would slice them up, then core them out, slice them up, and put them out in the sun on what they call drive, or some of them on house roofs. And to make sweet apples, they call them snit apples. And the sour apples, but they would peel them and slice them up and put them out in the sun and dry them. And they canned some few, but they didn't do as much that then, and they dry the apples. Then to put them in a sack, and they were dried. They would have apples cooked till up the spring of the year.
Sure.
They put salt in them to keep the moths from laying eggs from getting water.
Mm-hmm.
Put salt in the apples.
That's right. And then when you take your apples out of that bag, you see the dry apples, the dry salt, up at them worms, what we could get in them. Just to take them out and wash that salt on them some more stuff.
Mmm!
There's
a herd of that.
I mean, they make good pies.
Oh, I know they did. But I had never heard of putting salt in with them. Just regular table salt.
Yeah, just regular table salt.
Did you do that too?
Mm-hmm. And dry beans too.
You put the salt in there too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, what happened when God got around to the bean store yet? And they would, now, back at that time, they didn't have any Mexican beetles. And they'd plant them a patch of white beans or colored beans, whatever kind of life. Regret they patching the cornfields, and when they get dry, they go and pick them off, and they shell them out. And they tend the beans. Or the way that they saved, that they were 90% of them done it, but they take them beans and they let them get full, only not yellow, for the root seed, and they take them, break them up, just like if you're going to cook them, and they put them out in the sun, dry them, and they would put them in a sack and put salt in them, and they'd have the beans on up that next summer until you grow beans.
Those that you left on the vine, did you call those hay beans?
No, they were soup beans, they called them.
What
are
hay beans?
The ones you dry. The hay beans.
I got some here. At least my wife had. A couple of messes. If we dried this year, we had so much rain, added rent out beans, but last year I dried a butter bushel.
Well, what is a hay bean then?
Well,
them's the ones you break up and put them out and let them dry.
Yeah. Some people call them shuck beans, some leather britches, but we always, my mother and daddy and grandmother and granddaddy, they call them hay beans, because they've just dried out the sun, just the same as you can mow hay down.
And then you'd snap.
So you break them up first.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't, that long pole, they wasn't cure out right.
I get it.
That now I have seen a few people put them on a string, hang them around in the house, and then you can put them on and pour boil them so long, and then when you go to eat, mean to cook them, well, you have to take a knife and chop them up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you ever, with your cabbage, did you plant that with the head down and the root up?
Now I have to see that done, but both ways. If there's hard head of cabbage, just take a shovel and put out a ditch, and they put these cabbage down and put dirt over the shovel, nothing to ditch the side of them. Maybe they put a 50 or 100 head of cabbage in there. And then in the winter, when it wasn't frozen, they could go and get these cabbage out. And then there was another way that they done it. But they take them, it wasn't hard enough, and some of them that was hard, but it'd be a good plow before they'd take the root enough to bat back, you know, the bust can come out. And they plant the heads up, and they'd throw leaves over them, and when they get cold, they'd throw pine bush brush over them to protect them. And they go and have cabbage all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Now that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't have no refrigerators or...
When you did it that way, the second way, did you get little cowlies?
Yeah. In the spring of the year, when the weather begins to get warm, the cabbage stand a little good, not much of cold. But they go and clean this stuff off of that. And they take them, and they come out little, maybe make a sprout out, mm-hmm. 5, 6, 7 sprouts on them. And they call them cabbage cottage. They take any of the things off of when they were tender and cook them for salad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Couldn't you plant them too?
No. Well, they ain't never did for planting it. They would sow the seed. Because if you let them stand there for the second year, that they would just run up the seed. Have seed on them. I've seen the people grow their own cabbage seed.
Yeah.
Beet seeds, turnip seeds. Well, you never knew what going to store them behind the seed was.
They did it themselves.
Yeah. And they could take the turnips and go out and I buried some turnips last year. And they would take and bury the turnips, and they had turnips to eat all the winter. And spring of the year, well, they'd leave 4 or 5 or 5 or 6 big ones in there and set them up along gardens or somewhere or another and had their own seed for another year. Didn't all of them do it, but a lot of them did. And them that didn't do it, they would go around to the neighbor's barn, for the barn seat. So that's the way it went.
Sounds to me as though the people didn't really waste a lot of things.
No, they didn't. Because money was too hard to get home to.
Mm-hmm.
But there was might a little work going on.
Mm-hmm.
What you need to dig out of the ground, that maybe in the spring of the year, people could give you a day or two's work. But in the fall of the year, if you go down off the mountain, and my daddy would go over in Shenandoah Valley and cut up corn for people, go back and shuck corn, or help them shuck wheat for the cut and different things. And the cutting felt so much money away, because they didn't make for so much.
That's right.
And you just couldn't get it to get to work.
Yeah. How about your clothes? Did your grandmother or mother make your clothes?
Well, a lot of them they did. And then on Simmons Gap, that's where we were mostly raised on our stable with my granddad and my mother.
Mm-hmm.
The missionaries at started a little school up there. And I don't know, they said that they were going off of begging these books. Anyway, they just had lots and lots of secondhand clothes. And then people had to live, and they'd sell them to the people real cheap.
They
had a good pair of shoes, like well, these ain't good, but they had to have been good. Or maybe you get them for about a quarter. Or maybe a pair up along him, maybe 50 cents, would last you all the winter.
Great.
And you get all kinds. It wasn't sporty clothes. And this day and time, I don't expect that a lot of people would wear them, or would have to wear for what you could get. They have old long coats and little waistcoats and stuff like that, and but keep you warm during the winter.
Did your father have a last so that he could repair shoes?
Oh yes, he had a long last.
Did most of the people have lasts?
Well, back that day and time they did.
That's
still got one here now.
Do you?
I still got one.
Sure, but you got.
Now, that's what's called a haybean.
This is a haybean.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now for the tape. Let's see, how will I describe it? Looks like a peanut, doesn't it? Really?
Yeah, but the beans in them.
Oh, I know that. They're thin, though, aren't they? Mm-hmm. They're thin. Now, do you soak them in water before
mm-hmm.
you cook
yeah,
them?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
How long?
Well, you can overnight. Yeah, I usually put them in water overnight.
That makes
put
them easier
them next
to
morning,
cook.
That makes them easier to cook.
And then they swell back up at just about the same size they are.
Oh, here's enough to make two messes.
Yeah.
Two messes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they swell back up.
Or you put them in a kettle of water, or it'd be more than a gallon for gallon half beans up.
Do you cook it with any meat or
yeah.
any? Yeah. Salt pork or?
Yeah.
Put
pork with it.
Yeah.
Piece of pork.
And it takes a long time.
Makes a good
cook.
Meal too.
Yes. Does it come out sort of thick? It's not like a runny soup. It's a
No. You just cook them with ordinary water, like you would your green beans. Or have to keep adding more water to them before it takes a good while to cook.
Beautiful. Was there a blacksmith anywhere near?
Yeah, there was Noah Hearn over on Sir Simmons Gap and down in Beckenhall. But there's one that they call John Shippett. Or they call him Betts John, for there's over half a dozen Johns, and they just put the Betts John to it, of blacksmith shops.
Yeah.
And then there were several off, distances. Used to repair wagons and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But most of them fellows would do, or just keep shoes on your horses, or fix up your little ripples and stuff, or you plow corn, or you plow hoes and stuff. Hoes you work
with. Did he ever make any metal for your heels and your shoes?
No, well, not mine. He didn't, but I remember that my granddaddy's, both of you used to have them made, and then they'd have a thing made it called a cock. Stick in there. It used to be at icy times, but walk on ice and stuff. But he never made none for mine.
Uh-huh. Did it help with the ice?
Oh yes, and I would help it. Well, because you just step on your shoe, and that thing it was a caulk they called it, nothing but a spike. As you put in your shoe heel. And it would stick in that ice to hold you up. You
would
walk around.
I would think it'd be like having ice skates on.
Ma'am?
I would think it'd be like having ice skates on, that it would make you skid.
No, this one. Now, I've seen heel plates made steel heel bars. Plates. You can still buy them out of stores. I used to laugh and say that they were just for street walkers dragging their foot along on the cement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Keep cutting the heels
right. School. Now, with living with your grandparents, did you go to school there?
No. What little bit of school, and I got that on Simmons Gap, I had went maybe in 1 year back home from the park, out of the park, or was in the park then, but you come back over to Simmons Gap, and it was about 3 miles or further that you have to walk, and sometimes in the winter, it gets so bad that maybe they wouldn't have school for a couple of weeks. So either you or you wouldn't go to school sometimes for a couple of weeks, maybe 1 or 2 days a week, and that's the reason why that we never did. Well, the day I have a couple more of the old since they haven't got too much education.
When you left the park, did you find it an inconvenience that you had not had an education?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You did know how to count, though.
Oh, yes. I can count. And I can read and write my name and read some of the little things. And then after you get up so big, or the way it was then, they didn't force them to go to school. I mean, if you wanted to go, it was all right. And if you didn't, our mother did grumble a lot. She had some education about us going to school. But my daddy never did say anything about it.
Where was your mother born and brought up? There at White Mountain?
My mother was born at White Mountain.
White Mountain. And they had a good school there.
Well, it was the same thing. but they were closer to it than we was.
Mm.
They were close to Bible school.
It's too darn bad you didn't stay there with your grandparents then.
They had done stopped that school then, and then later on, it started up a school again.
Did you go to church regularly?
Yeah. After I got up to a certain age, I did, but when we were small, we didn't go to school too much, but after I got up to practice growing, we did.
Was the school, was the church near the school?
Yeah, the church, the school, or the couple of teachers. Then there's a preacher who come once or twice a month to preach, and then every Sunday they would have Sunday school at this church. And that wasn't out of the bed or up on this mountain. Now, summertime, it was regular. It was winter time. Sometimes it would be several weeks that they wouldn't. Well, wouldn't have any own kind of the weather.
And what would happen if somebody died and there was no minister? What would you do?
Well, sometimes I see it happen that there wasn't any funeral priest.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing that several times, if it were too cold and bad, there were no undertakers. I'd reel it out from there. The old man, I'd reel. I don't know what his son still operates the business or not. He was the only undertaker then that I know of at Embalm Peak. They just made a lot of their own coffins. They got homemade coffins. Me and the round would make. And if it was cold in the winter time, just so that they couldn't do it, they just wasn't buried. And the bodies that didn't go bad, not like it would, in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes it was done very promptly.
Oh. I hadn't thought about that. Where would they keep the body then?
Well, they were kept in the house.
Until spring?
No. I mean, but maybe so sometimes 4 or 5 days until the weather got so that they could get them out. I see them at that. Well, there wasn't very many hearses then. A lot of them was carried to the graveyard, and they'd take an old horse and slide and take them to the graveyard that way.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen several.
Sure.
And then I've known them to happen. And the most of the old time people up on that mountain, there was graveyards were right close by.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the old timers had it on their own place.
Yes. Those family graveyards are still there.
Yeah.
Did your family have a graveyard?
Oh, yeah, my granddaddy did.
Mm-hmm.
That's for him.
Do you ever go back to it?
Oh, yes. And my mother and daddy buried that.
Let's go on to a happier subject. I know you had a lot of fun, Thomas.
Oh, yes.
Could you tell about some of them?
Oh, what do you mean, fun? Have we done what we're from
the Well, for instance,
here?
What would you do of an evening?
Well, we'd get up and help our daddy and granddaddy work home and stuff. And then we'd run around in the evenings, apple butter boilings and stuff like that. Summertime, and a lot of times, if you get just so tired from working, that you didn't feel like you'd get no playing or either running around so far.
Yeah, that's true.
It ain't look like it is now. You jump in old cars and stuff, but if you had a way to walk off the mountain sometimes 3 or 4 miles and then walk back at night in the dark.
I hear that a lot of the people used to get together and play setback.
Oh, yes. We done a lot of that after we got grown. Play some setback on Sundays. Play marbles, take 5 ring men, but maybe 4 or 6 to play marbles half a day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And when was lived in the park, or maybe on Saturdays or Sundays, or we used to take Sundays for a regular, but you get out to fish, or you get to take the dogs, kill groundhogs and stuff like that.
What would you do with the groundhogs?
Well, we ate them.
You ate them? Did you use the hides for anything?
Yeah. I have done it since I've been married, but I ain't for a long time. It looked like the gun got so it wasn't no good. Or we skin them, pack them up inside a building, let them dry, spread them, and make shoe strings.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a little rawhide.
Yeah.
Or even split them up. I've done that. You could break your harness up and cut you off a little piece off of it, a little string about that long, so your harness is up.
Okay. You never use them for banjo heads?
No. I love you to pick a banjo, and they were most too thick for the banjo hides, not for her to say. Now, I know the people that used to kill every cat that they could get. And especially a great big cat, and they stretch it real good and set it somebody for a banjo hide. Now, I never did just do that, but I did know those some young boys and things that did do it.
Uh-huh. Did they use ashes to take the fur off?
Yeah. They take and let that hide dry, and ashes has a certain potion of lye in it.
Mm-hmm.
And you take and lay it down on a flat board or something like that. And you take these ashes and wet them. And kind of like you would a meal, you just put it over the top of that hide, you put the fur up, the hide underneath. And maybe a week, that lye and then ashes to soften that hair up, and the host all of it would slip over there. And then when you would re-stretch that, you stretch a little thinner, re-stretch it, and let it get dry again. And then you just take a knife or something like that and just clean it real, real pretty.
Mm-hmm. Watch out for your pussycat. It's outside.
Dale?
I told her to watch out for that pussycat that's outside.
Well, they don't do it no more.
No, I know it. There was music played up there, wasn't
there?
Oh,
yeah, there was banjos and fiddles. I had a couple of uncles who used to get to an apple butter boiling and they'd have apple butter boilings, and they'd get out after the apple butter would come off, or they'd have a big dance, and maybe so sometimes they'd dance till 2 and 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. I know the bunch would be around when daylight comes.
And who was there to milk the cow the next morning? Gosh. That, it was sort of a square dancing type or a clog?
They would two and two dance together. They just call it a round dance. So sometimes every 12 or 15, all could, or would get on the floor, what would be going around.
Mm-hmm. How about moonshine? A lot of people made moonshine up there, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, in the wintertime, well, some of them done it practically year-round. Money was hard to get a hold of. If you could work and scrape around and get you 50 pounds of sugar, that'd make you 3 or 4 gallons of whiskey. My daddy done it. And at Hope Hunting in the winter, so when you didn't have no money, they didn't need for so much money, but they still they needed a little.
Sure,
you had
to need a coat.
Yeah. And
yeah.
Then me and my oldest brother, after we got old enough to make it, we made a little bit and kind of poked him out. He quit that though after the first kids got to that growing.
Oh.
He never didn't make much of a moonshine after that me and Sam was married.
Oh, yeah. Because it was a good way of making money, and it did augment the income.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah. And a lot of them did just take it for the year job, but my daddy never did do that. I've never made whiskey, made the whole winter, maybe all up in the summer while. Maybe the year the revenue men were going to come, they're tired of the quit for a while. Yeah, you could get sugar then for $4 and $5 a hundred, brown sugar down to one kind of $3.50, and you made 7-8 gallons of whiskey. Well, you get maybe $4 a gallon for your whiskey, you could never make much money.
You sure could.
And you,
where would he sell it?
Well, the different more ones around the buy, so then the old fellow Hearn would take it. People would come out to his house and get it, and then he sold a lot of it to guys along Canada River that walked up a mile run and could come over out to the place and get it.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Yeah, and I imagine some of that was drunk during these apple butter boilings and dances, wasn't
it? Oh, yeah. Well, they ain't never had an apple butter boiling, hardly. Now, a lot of the older people that didn't drink too much, they'd be more around, but the younger generation would have to put whiskey around, sitting in cans or bottles and different things.
Did the Weaver boys come up there?
No, Mr. Prentice Weaver didn't. But Ashby
Gooden?
Yeah, Ashby and his brother Herman. Well, my daddy used to sell him but maybe for 5 gallons of whiskey every month. Mm-hmm. And sometimes more than that. Because Ashby was in good kind of selling some of it out that they could come up there and get it and carry it back over by and get about twice as much a pint for it as we could over there, because there wasn't as much that was going on over on that side of the mountain.
Well, now, what's that side of the mountain? You mean?
That is over in Rockingham, that down on
in the Shenandoah Valley.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And they'd sell it to them railroad men and folks were making money, you know,
sure.
For a whole lot more.
You know, it would have been worth your while, your father's while, to take it down there to the railroad men.
Well, he's glad enough to get $3 or $4 a gallon for whatever he needed to get.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you did the revenuers ever catch anybody making it?
Oh, yeah, but they never used to catch my daddy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they caught 3 of my uncles. Had 2 of them in jail at one time for a down the road gig.
Oh dear, were they in Rockingham jail then?
No, they were tried in Charlottesville foot. And then when the old fellow men had taken it over, they tried them up at Harrisonburg.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I had several of my own uncles getting caught.
So nobody really objected when the revenue men came in? You didn't try to stop them?
No, because you knew better. And then most of the time, after it was them that they did call, after it slipped right in on them, or before they knew it, it kept them stealing, or they'd even search the buildings and find it.
Yeah. They were spoil sports. Did you ever hear of any fighting that went on up there? I understand, do you know Alan Patterson? His father owned and grandfather owned a lot of land up there and had cattle up there.
Well, the two that I know, Patterson. Well, they said there was three into that. They owned a great big bandage of land. That was back over on what they call the run on over on Fraser Mountain. But there was a place on it that they called Devil's Woodyard.
Yeah.
And it seemed like to me that one of the names of the older ones, I was a boy, was named Dave Patterson.
Yeah.
It seemed like to me that there was two boys and a girl.
Well, there was Alan and Dave. And Alan Patterson said that there was a lot of fighting that went on.
Well, now, they did. They were over on Fraser Mountain, right out there, giant in the places. There was a lot of it. Because them guys over there, they didn't do them but beg moonshine. And on Sundays, they would get together and they'd play poker. And they'd fight. They'd cut one another. Several of them got shot one time and another. Then there was a boy killed a man over there. That was after the heart attack that his daddy had done moved out, and he left some stuff in the house, and they got the playing cards on, and a boy killed a fellow. Yeah, but there was some right much fighting and scratching that was going on. That was about they shot or cut one another. Or to kill, or even hurt bad, or the very seldom ever went to court, or because they didn't have money to cut their fines, and maybe they go along and make friends, or sometimes you made 6 or 12 months and not speak.
Mm-hmm.
One would get mad with the other one, they're making moonshine, and they would report one another, have them caught, and have a partner that way.
Yeah.
And different things. Yeah, I can remember that them Patterson's, that they used to come by, ride a horse up to the and go back to the grazing farm.
Yeah.
They grazed a lot of cattle on that place.
Yeah, they did. They had 2,400 acres somewhere around like that.
I noticed something over to 2,000 acres.
Yeah.
Well, I worked on that Skyline Drive.
You did?
Yeah.
You were with the CCCs?
Ma'am?
You were with the CCCs?
No, there was a contractor coming here from Missouri. I just can't think of his name. And had contracted a piece of it from back at Swift Runs Mountain on over to Brown's Gap.
Yeah.
Back, that way, and I hope we cut the right of way, and we cut all the way through the Patterson place.
Mm-hmm.
On the right of way, me and my brother stole.
Mm-hmm. That was good money, wasn't it?
Well, we thought it was good that it had been time, but it was only for 30 cents an hour. Mm-hmm. When they built that part of that Skyline Drive.
Oh, it was Depression time.
Yeah.
Speaking of depression, I don't want to put words in your mouth. How do I word this? Did the depression affect you like it would the people who lived in a city?
No. Well, most of the time, I guess it made some harder times, or because it was a little harder for you to get work then. But there's more moonshine in doing this, and ever were done before, because stuff just got down so that you couldn't get out and find where these were. But them had lived right around the mountains, really lived a little bottom maybe, and some in the city. But they might not have had as much to wear, but they dig and try to get what they could from the ground to live on.
Right. Where people in the cities could not.
No.
Right.
Or they didn't have no way to do it. And we never did go hungry. And I know people in the city that maybe had more to eat than we had, or when they had more money to get it. If we had milk and bread, or maybe a big pot of beans, or whatever we had, when we had enough of it, they ever didn't go home.
Right.
And look like that stuff then tasted a whole lot better than it does now.
Well, it was fresh from the ground, and there is that difference. Mrs. Morris, tell me how Mr. Morris courted you. How did you meet?
Well, we went to the same church together.
Which was where?
At Wyatt's Mountain.
At Wyatt's Mountain. Okay, and so he began looking at
you. I guess he did.
Would he?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. And he walked you home from church?
Yes, ma'am.
Have dinner with you? Have dinner with you?
No, I don't think he ever eat dinner.
Oh, he was being on his good behavior, wasn't he? Trying to show you that he didn't eat much.
My grandmother was against me going with him.
Oh, really?
And she didn't want me to go with nobody.
Oh. How old were you?
When I got married, 18.
18. Now that seems very young, doesn't it?
I know it.
Yeah. Where did you get married, in the church or in the home or where?
We got married in Stanisfield. What was it in
a? It was at a preacher's home. His name was Ribble.
Well, I can't think of his name.
Preacher Ribble married us.
In Stanisfield.
Oh, did you really sort of elope then? Or?
No, he asked for me.
Yes, only I know he asked for you, but I mean, did the two, since your grandmother didn't approve, did you just up and do it anyway?
No, her daddy signed it.
Oh.
See, her mother and daddy separated.
Oh.
And my grandmother and granddaddy raised
it. Raised it, but.
So my daddy had to sign the paper.
Then where did you live after you got married?
Well, we lived with his grandparents from 12th of December until the 9th day of March.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to housekeeping on my granddaddy's place down in Chippewa.
Mm-hmm. Did you build a house there or?
No, they already, we rented from my granddaddy.
I see, there was a house already built.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, great. And that worked out fine, didn't it?
Yeah.
See, it does pay to go to church. Aren't you glad you did? Mrs. Morris, did your grandmother know much about herbs for medicines?
No, I don't think so. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. Not too much.
How about your grandmother or mother, Mr. Morris?
Well, they done kind of little doctoring along. The kids had colds and things that take turpentine and grease the chest and did different things.
Well, my grandmother done that.
You get the wheezes or something else, they give you a drop or two of kerosene, and that's good for that. I've taken some of it. I have asthma right that bad at times.
Oh, do you?
And just put it on sugar and take a few drops of it.
And it cures the asthma?
Well, it would help that wheezing for cutting the flame of it. But they doctored on them, that was what they could. They Now, if a kid had a pneumonia or something but like that, or they'd have to have a doctor, had an old country doctor.
Mm-hmm.
That's to come around.
Did you have used midwives for babies or have a doctor?
No. My mother, as far as I know, she never had a doctor. With none of us, myself, Sam, myself, Sam, Lonnie, Helen, Carl, Raymond, Roy, Hazel, the sis, the Lily. But now in the last ones down of the old mid women, it's the used to say, well, the most of them had done passed away or was too old.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got a doctor to help them for two or three of the youngest ones. Two I know on the mountain, and then the two youngest ones that was born north of the mountain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
seemed to be pretty universal having midwives, didn't it? And they were good. They knew what they were doing. Were there any particular diseases that children had that you know of?
Well, nothing particular then, not as you know of, like it is now. They would have some sickness, or if you don't take care of a whole lot of rigmarole and stuff, that had measles or mumps or smallpox or things like that. But you never heard of much diseases then, not like it is now.
Mm-hmm.
It's all kinds now.
Now the whooping cough, that was
creeping
like that, because
yeah.
Uncle Robert lost two.
Oh yeah, that used to treat them rough, and so did the measles.
Mm-hmm.
And they claimed the smallpox was there, and if any of our family, or the three of us, had them, but when we lived on White's Mountain, and that was me and Sam and Lonnie, well, I think if they treated my daddy and mother whole lot worse than it did us three kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I say it was a built-in immunity for children against a lot of things.
Oh yes.
Mm-hmm.
And now, well, I guess so many more people than children, and there were at that time too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In the last 50 years.
And then the typhoid fever got around too sometime, because all of St. Louis's.
Yeah, well done. That was a germ that was caught from filthy water or stale water or something.
Their whole family had.
Yeah. My uncle had a well, and they, but they caught it from the spring. Then they cleaned out the well. But they had a spring hose over the back of the house, just like my mother had. There was no refrigerators in, and no electric up on that mountain at that day and time. And they'd put some milk out there at this spring box, a little spring house, and down in a box, a wooden box, mm-hmm. cold water would run in there all day long, and it would keep your milk cold.
Yeah.
So back in the 30s, it was 32 or 3 or something like that. But we had one real dry summer. And
yeah.
This water got down low, and that whole family got the typhoid fever from it.
Oh.
And there's a lot of families that had it around. I mean, in the original years, but not too many of them right at that time. I think it was 3 or 4 of them that made it call it.
I know that drought really did a lot of damage, didn't it?
Oh yes. Oh, stuff just dried up. Oh, we carried water for at least a quarter of a mile. And people just, I call, give the cattle away, but it didn't make me anything to feed them. Well, my daddy had some corn planted up on top of the Blue Ridge. I was unpractically grown, and we plowed that corn and worked it, but it just stayed so dry that after another year husk it out, you know, there wasn't no wheels on it. And after people had it rough that year, got to something to eat, but or they had to make moonshine or any way the food to do.
I heard that a lot of people planted their gardens during that drought along the streams. Did you see that going on?
See my
that drought only lasted for one summer.
Yeah.
And of course now that there was some few probably that made more than others before they had land, meaning the gardens on the French side. Mm-hmm. And my mother and them made a right much good garden stuff, but because the last rain had come, it was a thunder shower at the last of it, of May or something like that. And then it didn't rain no more until on up late in the fall, but maybe frost. I was practically frozen. I just remember. Anyway, I know our spring went dry, and we had the terrible water from way over on a place we call Ernest Hickel's grave. I know my mother would move up and wash that day.
And I think you had pretty well covered the way the people took care of it. You mentioned hunting very briefly. Did you hunt? What did you hunt aside from groundhogs?
Well, we killed squirrels, rabbits. Anything we could was evil. And then in the winter, we'd trap some. We'd catch wildcats, foxes, skunks, possums, anything we could.
Did you sell any of the rabbits?
Well, sometimes I did, but not after I got practically grown. I did. I sold them to buy the shields.
Yeah.
Take them to the old store and you get 10 cents a piece for your rabbit and caught five, or you could get you a box of shields.
Mm-hmm.
A bit squirrel hunt or a rabbit hunt with kill birds, quail, you get 10 cents a piece for them.
Uh-huh. Did you ever hunt any grouse?
Yeah, we have a right many grouse.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have so many, you get 5 cent or a dollar for them. Then in the summertime, we used to kill hawks and get 5 cents for the skill.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A dollar for a weasel. Run around, kill chickens and stuff.
Yeah.
15 cents for a crow.
Who would buy a crow?
Well, the county done it. They're destroying so much of the people's crops, the corn and stuff. They peck the ends of it open and want one thing.
Yeah.
And the hawks. So every old place can pass, old people and young. And they kept a bunch of chickens. And them hawks would catch a lot of them, kill them. And they use them eggs to take them stolen, you'll get them a little sugar and coffee and pepper or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe eat them occasionally, but they'd sell the most of them.
Yeah. How about deer? Were there any deer?
No. Now, that the day and time, I never saw a live deer in the park. I saw some at some fellows stand up, but I never saw a live deer in the park, and in fact, there wasn't any. Not at that time, until that park had taken over. And then they said they turned loose or something.
How about bear?
Well, now, there was a bear occasionally, but just once in a while, you would see a hear of a bear. So something people see one once in a while. That could come through.
Okay. I'll tell you later why I was asking that. Did you ever play any practical jokes on me? Seeing that picture of your grandson. He looks as though he'd play practical jokes.
Yeah, we would ask one another foolish things and all I like about it.
Did you ever play particular jokes on April Fool's Day?
Well, not particularly, not as ever I know of. maybe that there wasn't, you know, out just around home, or there was, that there was nobody around, you know.
Mm.
Just maybe a family every mile or so from the one you get together.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay, now how did you celebrate Christmas?
Well, Mother always tried to, Daddy always tried to gather up a little something or another. They'd play Santa Claus, fix up your hats. Then it had Christmas trees around at different places. The church you went to, they'd give you a little handout and stuff like that. And that was about all the Christmas that he ever had.
Did you do any of this, wearing masks or anything and going around?
Well, yeah, after I got grown a bit, about Christmas times, a bunch of you get together, what they call it, serenading people, who would go from house to house, and they'd play music, maybe some of them would dance a little bit, and maybe they'd stay up to 1, 12, 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, a whole bunch, just to get a bunch of youngsters together, most of them.
Would you start this the week before Christmas, or
well,
after?
They usually would, but maybe a week before Christmas.
Uh-huh. Did they do it after Christmas?
Well, not very much after Christmas. They laid that down most.
Nobody got together and danced and.
Well, they would do a little of that, of doing, you know, going around serenading.
Yeah.
And then around Christmas times, a lot of them would, they wouldn't be masked up for that. But they'd set nights for to have big dances and drink and dance and tell.
Yeah. So Christmas was a fun time, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You actually had Christmas trees.
Well, there's Christmas trees around the old churches and things. And then my mother, sometimes she put up a little Christmas tree and sometimes she didn't. So that's what it was. Now, but that back in our first 5, 6, 7 kids, I never remember seeing them put up a Christmas tree at home. And there wasn't many of the old people that done the thing. But because they didn't have the stuff to decorate them up with.
Yeah. Would you say, well, what would you do in the winter? Let's put it that way. What, were you working hard in the winter?
Well, no. I was out tracking rabbits. Maybe chop out a little piece of ground for when the weather was fit. But in the winter time, what they mostly done was just to sit around and eat. And if the weather was fit, you'd get out and hunt, kill rabbits, eat anything you could.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't the hard, pushy time like then in the summer.
No.
In the summer, would you get up earlier then?
Yeah, because you always had a little corn and stuff to woodwork then, and plow, cultivator, or whatever you was doing. And they get soon in the summertime, before wintertime, they didn't pay attention to it.
Yeah.
Get out and get to work.
Yeah. Did you ever peel any bark for trees?
No,
I mean for the.
I didn't, but my daddy did, and me and Sam and Lonnie, and maybe Carl too. I know me and Sam and Lonnie. He used to peel bark. He lived up on that mountain, and there's two grazing places he tended to them, and they'd give him, especially one of what bark he wanted to peel, and they'd get up. In the spring of the year, and he tried to get what corn they was going to find, but maybe a couple of acres or something like that, but not more than that. And he gives corn for planting early, because when he'd always say when the chestnut leaves or the oak leaves, when the leaves come out as big as a squirrel's ear, that bark will turn loose on the trees, the tan bark.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd peel bark, and we would rank it up for him as close to the roots so you could get them for sled. But we carry it out, we have to rank it up.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, before, we'd stack it up with it set side down and let it dry out, and you could carry a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
then to get a man more than with a wagon haul it down to Elkton and sell it to Tanner.
Did you then cut the trees down and use it for firewood or railroad ties?
Well, you had to cut the tree down to get your bark off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would haul the tree out just during the summer or the winter and then you use it for firewood.
Yeah. So you, again, didn't waste things?
No. Not for more than hand and get to now. A lot of it was wasted because it was all support from the housemaid that never was hauled in. Close to wood.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of old chestnuts laying around there that had blown down. Or the chestnut trees were living for them back in my boys' times of kids. They was most all of them standing there. They had a lot of them have had chestnuts on them.
Yeah. That chestnut life was terrible. And then right after that, you had the drought.
Yeah.
One question I forgot to ask you about Christmas. Did you shoot off firecrackers?
No, not for when I was kids when we didn't. Because it was very seldom that you see for too many then. But after we got on up 12, 15 years old, we got a hold of some shoot. Get some small ones.
Uh-huh. Must have sounded like a battlefield going on up there in the mountains with all those firecrackers going off.
Well, the most of the firecracker shooting then, they weren't allowed to do it close around the church. But when they'd have these Christmas trees, the Episcopal people would around at all the churches, and they'd get off from the church, you know, after it's all over. Maybe they'd be two or three rows leading from it and punches, so you'd get together and they'd get the shooting firecrackers. it wasn't the money then for the bomb, not like it is now.
Yeah.
And then after I got grown, they got plentiful.
You keep mentioning when you got grown. Now, when you said you worked on the road, the Skyline Drive.
Yeah.
Then what did you do?
Well, I farmed some for myself. We grow my corn and made a little wheat, different things, just like you did. It was right down at the foot of the mountain. And we farm land. We grow my hog or two, a couple of hogs. We got me a couple of cows, a horse. And in fall of the year, in the summertime, we'll go pick peaches, maybe get a dollar and a quarter a day. Have to get up in the morning about 5 o'clock. If you had a cow and milk, they'd leave about six. But get out from Shipping Hollow up to Crow's Head, pick peaches. You pick peaches to tear that up, and then you'd have to practically run until dark then to get your cows and things for milk for when you get back. And moonshined a little bit too.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the winter.
Yeah.
Cut logs and haul out a little extract wood. Stuff like it, or you could sell it for the coal. Any way to pick up a dollar, because money wasn't plentiful then, not like it is now.
Did you ever work for any of the factories around or anything of that kind?
Ma'am?
Did you ever work in any of the factories or anything like that?
Factories? No, I never did work in any factories until after I was done married for 7 years. But during the war, World War II, I was examined for the Army, and I had an operation, and I slipped off a cliff, a squirrel hunt, and shot myself. I went down to Richmond to be examined for the Army and put me back in Fort Worth. About 30 or 60 days, they sent me a paper then if I didn't get a defense job. If you get a defense job, I think it could find me a job in the service. So I went to Baltimore then, worked at Green's Manufacturing Company, order made for materials to fight with, 2.5 years. So when it was over, I had bought an old place above by then, and so I sold that And I bought me a place of my own, farm place.
Good. So really, you've been able to spend most of your life out of doors.
Yeah, I don't like factory work, and I'd rather live around the mountains and just stay in, you know, city. That just tears me all to pieces.
Sure.
Nothing to do, just see one house again the other.
Yeah. Right.
So I'd rather be out in the woods. Of course, this is the road up now, but when I bought this, there was orchards all over here and above here, and there's three or four orchards below here, and they, none of them operating now but one. Uh-huh. But when I bought this, this below the road, I had sold that now, but that was a peach orchard.
Yeah. Have you ever heard the story, the rumor, that Bacon Hollow is one of the worst hollows in the mountains?
Yeah. Back when I was a boy, on up, it very seldom ever was a year in there that there wasn't one or two shot or killed somewhere, another, but mostly shot.
Why was this? Was it a feuding type thing, or was it because of the moonshine, or temper of the people, or what?
Well, they had a temple. Now, they that was a fact. And most of them were chickens and marshes. And a lot of it could have happened from the moonshining. One would report another, and then they'd get angry and mad and drinking. They're different things. I just couldn't tell you how.
I have done all the questioning. How about you telling me just whatever comes into your head?
Well, I don't know much else that I can tell you.
Were you happy as a child?
Oh, yes. I was happy then. I was all my life.
Did your family ever whip you?
Oh, yes.
What did you do to be whipped?
Well, we were just mean and mischievous. We'd get out and do things and fight for a little time. We went to school and did different things. And people get the patterns on and cause you to get a whooping. So that's all just the way it went, and all was that way.
Did you ever talk back to your mother and father and say, I won't do it?
No, I know better. But if I talk back too much, I tell them that I won't want to do things, and maybe it would happen again. So I get whooped for that. No, but I don't talk back to them.
Was there much love in your family?
Oh, yes. It seemed like all of them liked one another.
Yeah. Your mother sounds as though she was a very unusual woman.
Ma'am?
Your mother sounds like a fine, unusual woman.
She was that.
Mm-hmm. What did she look like?
Well, she was a good-sized woman and a right stout woman.
I have a picture
of her. Well, back in her younger days, and worked hard. She'd get out and go to the field and work corn with a hoe.
That's not a stout woman. That's a very pleasant faced looking woman.
She was tall.
Yeah.
She was real tall.
She is a very good looking woman.
That's Bill and Sam.
Oh.
Two oldest ones.
So this is Sam.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
She was a right-sized woman, about
150
or 60 pounds.
That's Ruth.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And this is all in one family.
Oh, boy. Isn't that great? She was a hard-working woman then, right?
Yeah. Yes, she was.
Well, she had to cook for all the children.
Oh, yes. Well, she'd get
the laundry.
Yeah. And the hard way then, it was an old tub and a washboard.
Yeah.
take them outside and boil them in a big wash pot, you call it, and in a lye or homemade soap, or anyway, if they...
2 years before she died.
Yeah, well, my mama had fallen away.
I've taken up a bunch of
fallen away then. She had had several operations.
Did you ever see any mentally retarded people up there?
Oh, yeah. They was all born occasionally. But not as many then. Either you cause that you see more of the people then. Yeah, but there was old fellow that they called Jim Long. Well, that was his name. His last name was Long. That wasn't right. Mm-hmm. And then over in the Bacon Hollow, there was a bunch of guys of shepherds. My daddy was, they called him Abbey Shepherd. I don't know what his name was. He raised three boys that was some party that wasn't, you know, right. And occasionally, I know of several more that they had you see. People say, well, they ain't got good sense, but they had plenty of sense in some ways, and so some ways they seemed, you know, dumb backwards.
Yeah. Well, it's the same is true today, isn't it? We have them all over.
That's right.
I was wondering if that Abbey Shiflett family, maybe they were too closely related?
I don't know. They was all older than I was. And as far as I know, that they all did that. But the girls or other boys that didn't act right. Mm-hmm. But there was now Cleveland and Burnham was two smart fellows, only they was temper people. Of course, the Burnham got shot and killed. That they were five killed at one. Shot at one time and two died. But the rest of the whole family, I was Pearl and Juliet and Cova, Sonny and Charlie. Mm-hmm. Of course, the people you used to get them three up in the big hall to steal. And it'd be crazy. Everyone to tell on the man at Harlem. Oh, but come get nothing out of them when they put them in jail, and they keep them in them maybe a few weeks. They take them, Cova, the oldest one, up to Harrisonburg and locked them up and tried to get him to tell who had him stealing. And he knocked the jailer down. And they take them up, but just have to turn them loose.
Mm-hmm.
And the last account I heard was one of them was over in prison. I mean, not prison, in the silo, or one of the young ones. But they ain't learned that was around but Bacon Hollow living now, not of my knowing. And then Larry Garrison, that lived in the park and lived on the Patterson place that you were talking about, that's where boy was living from when he got killed. That he had an entire boy, what we called it then.
Larity Garrison?
Larity Garrison.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a boy still living, some of them up in Brown's Cove with Reuben Garrison.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't know for what Ben is still living or not, but he was in time.
Yeah. You have been simply wonderful, Mr. Mark. You don't know what you have done.
No, Ben Garrison, please be.
Just your recollections have told me so much.
Well.
Oh, I thank you. Oops. And I have an agreement here that I asked the park to make up. Because remember I told you about those people that just took a couple of things out and then made a whole story out of it. I did not want anybody who trusted me to have that happen to them.